This episode of the AfriCast is sponsored by Kyocera Document Solutions South Africa. Built on a strong foundation of document management, that's Kyocera Document Solutions South Africa. With extensive consulting services and self-developed business applications, your business is assured of total document solutions to suit your needs. By understanding customers' business environments, we aim to solve document management-related issues. For more information, call 011-595-2600 or email info@dza.kyocera.com or visit www.kyoceradocumentsolutions.co.za. And welcome to another edition of the AfriCast. My name is Brendan Lotz, and joining me today is Robin Chetty.
Hey, how's it going?
And there's no Clinton Matos this week. He's off writing an exam. Best of luck to him. I don't envy his position at all, especially not given the current state of events. let's jump straight into the news. We're going to pick things up sort of where we left them last week and chat about Facebook, and more specifically Facebook's resistance to being an arbiter of truth. Robin, you picked up the story. I suppose we both picked it up this week, but do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, so I guess it kind of follows on from discussed during last week's podcast, as you mentioned. And this week, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg decided to host one of his infamous town halls, where the employees could kind of engage with him and kind of find out what the company is doing, and they can discuss a myriad of topics. The focus for this week was obviously how Facebook has reacted to U.S. President Donald Trump's comments with regards to the protests in Minneapolis over the murder of George Floyd, and kind of what role Facebook took in kind of handling his comments. We know that Twitter, for example, hid his tweet that essentially incited violence, but Facebook chose not to. Yeah. And that was really the core of the discussion at this town hall. And a lot of employees actually called him out on it and kind of wanted to find out what exactly the company's reasoning was behind this. And as he has done in previous occasions, although Zuckerberg has shown that he is outraged over what happened, he's always fallen back on the idea that Facebook should always be impartial, should always be a vehicle, for lack of a better term, when it comes to free speech. And this is kind of the crutch that he's bent on this time around. And yeah, he's getting a lot of pushback from employees as a result.
I mean, if you want to say that you don't want to have violent content on the platform and you're not going to police anybody that puts it there, you've got to be consistent then, right? You want to be neutral. You've got to be consistent in that. And if Joe Soap posts something about violence, then you've got to leave that up there as well, because who knows if that's going to be newsworthy one day.
Well, I think it kind of harkens back to what we chatted about last week, in that the U.S. president should be held to a different standard than your Joe Soaps. And also found it quite interesting that a couple of Facebook employees, one in particular, actually tendered his resignation as a result of all of this. One of the things he mentioned was that Zuckerberg actually spoke to Facebook as an organization and said, when it comes to active violence, that's where they kind of draw the line, and that's where they're going to take action.
Yeah.
But clearly his words earlier this week tell a different story. So it's unfortunately now a case of Facebook continuously moving the goalposts because they're perhaps too afraid to anger Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's a sticky situation, and I feel like Facebook's resistance to wanting to police what Donald Trump says, or not police, but rather step in and say, hey, listen, this is not all right. It speaks volumes. Facebook employees staged a virtual walkout this week, obviously with a lot of the staff is working from home. They couldn't really walk out of the office, so they virtually walked out. A couple of them took leave in protest to the actions or the inaction that has been taken by the platform with Donald Trump's messages. Because, as Robin mentioned, the tweet that was kind of hidden by Facebook, or Twitter rather, was not hidden or anything, not even a warning was posted on Facebook, which it's a bit bizarre when you have a policy against violence and then you just let a call that incites violence kind of just let it pass by because the president tweeted it. Ain't no harm.
Yeah. Let's just read out his quote from the town hall that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
This is via The Verge, so we don't have, I guess, full clarity on this is what he actually said, but we assume that what's being reported on here is accurate. And he said that the presumption on our service is that you should be able to say what you want unless you're causing a specific harm, and we enumerate what that harms are and try to enforce them. And I do think that default is right. It just to me seems, again, like askew the argument as it best serves his purposes. Being outraged in public and then when your then with your company you start to do something different, it really it's starting to smack up Facebook actually, or rather their CEO not really caring about its users and more worried about what advertisers are going to be thinking about.
Yeah, that's what it boils down to at the end of the day, isn't it? I mean, you don't want those because when people leave your platform, they take their followers with them. And if Trump is already saying he signed an executive order based off of Twitter, simply pointing out that there's some misinformation in what he said. So I can sort of understand Facebook being hesitant to police him, because if they kick him off the platform, well, then he'll just go somewhere else. I don't know where else, but I mean, there's you could probably throw a dart at a board full of social networks that the president could go to, and his followers would follow him. So I understand where Facebook is coming from, but it's kind of a matter of do what is right rather than what's popular. And at the moment, it really doesn't seem like Facebook knows what right is at this point in time. So hopefully they can figure that out.
I think there's the US elections happening later this year, I think November, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
That's going to be quite interesting, because we obviously know that Facebook was implicated, or rather accused of, used to influence the 2016 US elections.
Yeah.
And Facebook has obviously stated publicly that they're going to look to do more to ensure the integrity of their platform during election time. And yeah, this will be a very good test of whether they actually follow through on what they're going to say.
Will be very interesting indeed. Right, moving on. Well, not moving on. I suppose we're still in the US. As Robin mentioned, a lot of what's happening with Facebook follows on what is happening in the US with protests surrounding the murder of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement. This week, a couple of game developers and gaming firms announced that they would delay a couple of announcements. I think the first person to do that was Sony, which was meant to host a PlayStation 5 event this week, on Thursday, actually. And they said this week that they have decided to postpone the event. And this was their statement. While we understand gamers worldwide are excited to see PS5 games, we do not feel that right now is a time for celebration. And for now, we want to stand back and allow more important voices to be heard. So obviously those voices are the voices of the Black Lives Matter movement, as well as protesters. And I think that this was a good move on PlayStation's part. Obviously they weren't the only ones to do so. Activision Blizzard has delayed the next season for Call of Duty Warzone. Epic Games delayed the next season for Fortnite. And if people are wondering why that is, well, it's because they don't want to take the conversation away. When these sorts of things launch, even if you don't really care about Fortnite, the conversation online does tend to become centered around that. So it's good to see these companies kind of taking a step back and saying, hey, listen, we're not going to take the limelight away from these important voices. So it's actually really, really nice to see this sort of thing happen. Obviously, there are some places which this is not possible. We can't always have a situation where folks step back and delay launches of things. But I think for the most part, the game development side of the industry has been really, really supportive of the movement. And yeah, I get that some people may be upset with the Black Lives Matter phrase and that whole powder keg, but I think it's really good of these companies to do this thing, show support where it matters, rather than, hey, we just care about our bottom line, which I think is the message that comes across far too often when we talk about games. So yeah, really, really nice from those folks. Okay, all right. So we're going to, before we jump into the meat and potatoes of this podcast, which is sponsored by Kyocera Document Solutions South Africa. That's a mouthful. We just want to mention something that was announced on Thursday afternoon. It's not really technology related. It's more COVID-19 and lockdown related. Minister in the Presidency, Jackson Mthembu, on Thursday announced that South Africa's national state of disaster has been extended by 1 month to the 15th of July. So, to give you guys a bit of background, the Disaster Management Act of 2002 allows for a national state of disaster to remain in effect for a period of 3 months. Jackson Mthembu said that it was 3 days or 3 months or 90 days, but the legislation doesn't mention 90 days. It only says 3 months. So given that we entered a national state of disaster on the 15th of March, that meant that the three-month expiration was approaching on the 15th of June. And government has now extended it. The act allows for the minister, who in this case is the Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma, she is allowed to extend the national state of disaster 1 month at a time before it lapses. And here's the key thing to note. The act does not put a limitation on how many times a state of disaster can be extended. So we can essentially extend it 1 month, 1 month, 1 month, 1 month until whenever. So that is worth noting. In addition to this, this kind of forms part of it. Earlier this week, on the 2nd of June, Northern Gauteng High Court Judge Norman Davis issued a judgment which stated that the COVID-19 lockdown regulations in Level 3 and Level 4 are unconstitutional and invalid. There's been a lot of talk about this judgment among the legal fraternity in South Africa. I'm not going to go into it because I am not a member of that fraternity. I will, however, point to a few opinions from some legal-minded folks for you to read up on. Essentially, the judge declared that some of the regulations implemented by government are unconstitutional and invalid. And as a result of this, the regulations would need to be relooked. Judge Davis gave the minister, Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma, 14 working days to sort of fix the regulations. However, yesterday, Jackson Mthembu announced that government was appealing the judgment, which it's within its rights to do, joining Dlamini Zuma in the appeal will be President Cyril Ramaphosa and Minister of Health Dr. Zwelile Mkhize. And while this appeal is going on, we are stuck at lockdown level 3. We cannot move, we cannot change levels, we are here until this appeal process is completed. How long does an appeal process take? How long is a piece of string? There's a lot of moving parts that need to go into this. So for the time being, it looks like we are stuck at level 3 until who knows when. Robin, how do you feel about that?
It's really a lot to digest this week. I have a feeling that the the judgment or the ruling is going to be thrown out, I think that government will probably make a strong enough case.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you have the will of the president behind it, chances are they're going to get their way.
Yeah.
I don't have much hope in terms of any of the regulations being changed. They will do as they see fit, most likely. I do wonder, though, what's going to happen in terms of the extension of the state of disaster. I'm just wondering just for how much longer they can actually extend it. Especially if we're meant to be going down. If we're working according to month ends, potentially we will be heading down to level 2 at the end of June. And then I don't know what happens after this. So a lot of things are still up in the air, unfortunately. And I think a lot of South Africans are going to be suffering as a result.
Mm.
I mean, you take, for example, things like the schools reopening.
Yeah.
Kind of how poorly that's been handled.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of issues that have. And again, I understand that the government is dealing with something that's really unprecedented. But at the same time, it seems like there's a lot more scrambling and second guessing and reactionary things that are taking place as opposed to being proactive and thinking ahead and adequately preparing. Yeah, it's just a very, very sad state of affairs. I know that South Africa has been praised for the way it's been handled COVID-19. And I look at the numbers, I think it just surpassed 40,000 earlier today. Or I think it was last night.
Yeah, as of the latest figures yesterday.
Yeah, so I'm not really holding out any hope that we are going to be getting as much praise how we handle things moving forward.
Yeah, so I kind of tend to agree with you. I think that the judgments, just from my cursory reading and very basic understanding of the law and legal processes, I think that judgment is going to, that appeal will be successful and the judgment will get thrown out. Just because there's a number of issues. Pierre de Force actually wrote a fantastic piece about the regulations on Thursday that I will link to at the bottom of this post because I think it's very worth reading for folks to understand. And he does a really good job of explaining how the judgments highlight some really important things, but the judgment in and of itself is a bit iffy. So we'll have to see how this goes down. My hope is that this appeal process is fast-tracked because, as I said right at the top of this, appeal processes can be incredibly, incredibly drawn out. There's a whole bunch of processes that need to be followed, a whole bunch of paperwork that needs to be looked at, signed off, created to begin with. It's a bit of a messy situation at the moment. But we'll see what happens. I'm confident in our legal system in South Africa. There's been some really great wins and some really great judgments that have been handed down in the past, so we'll have to see what happens. That's going to wrap up the news for today, however, and we're actually going to change things up a bit. Right at the beginning of lockdown, we actually we spoke about how things had changed when we entered lockdown and working from home, how things had changed for us, even though the majority of us here at Hypertext had been working from home to begin with. The change of play was rather noticeable. Even me, who works from home regularly, I did notice that some things had changed and certain things needed to be accounted for. And today we're actually going to chat to Kyocera Document Solutions South Africa about lockdown, how the state of work has changed, how it has dealt with lockdown, and a whole bunch of other stuff. It's a really, really interesting interview, and urge you to stick around and listen out for that. We'll be back in a second after the interview has played out. No matter what document management challenges the customer might face, Kyocera Document Solutions South Africa has the answers. By putting our knowledge and expertise to work, our clients can capture, organize, and share information securely through the combination of an award-winning range of device technology and business software. The constant exploration of new ways to use data to drive innovation ensures competitive advantage within the business. Call 011-595-2600 or email info@dza.kyocera.com or visit
www.kyoceradocumentsolutions.co.za for more information.
All right, so for today's episode of the AfriCast, we are going to chat to JP Lawrence, who is from Kyocera Document Solutions. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So we're going to chat about how COVID-19 has affected businesses, how digital solutions can sort of help in these troubling times. Without further ado, Robin, if you want to jump right in and start the conversation with JP.
Yeah, great stuff. So JP, first of all, thanks for joining us. I really do appreciate you making the time. I guess for a bit more context, this interview was supposed to happen pre-lockdown, but I guess other issues kind of transpired against us. So I just wanted to find out, first of all, how is Kyocera being dealing with the lockdown of all the different elements that's involved?
Perfect. Thanks, Robin. Thanks for having me. Yeah, if this interview happened before the lockdown, I think the conversation was being quite different. Now that it's after the lockdown, it actually gives us a bit more of a different context to what we've been doing as Kyocera. Over the last couple of years, I think Kyocera has actually been embracing technology and digital transformation quite a bit, not just to provide it to our customers, but also for us as an organization internally. You know, we have this saying that we go and say, you've got to eat your own dog food. And it might not be the best saying, but it's one that definitely speaks a thousand words. It's, if we try and provide our customers or anybody out there with any solution that we have not tried ourselves at first, and we have not seen the benefits by using it in our own organization, we can't expect our customers and our business partners to experience the same benefits from it. Yeah, from that perspective, we've actually, for the last 6-7 years, been around the block and onboarding new technology, onboarding digital transformation tools and techniques in providing to our customers.
So you, I've assumed then you have a pretty comprehensive suite as far as digital solutions go. How have those kind of been working out just in terms of how Kyocera has been conducting business internally? How have those helped?
It definitely helped us a lot. Over the last couple of years, not only have we gone the route to digitally transform our own business departmentally and in general, but it also gave us the opportunity to start understanding how does the human aspect fit into the technologies that we have. A couple of things that we have started doing very aggressively is to adopt tools that allows us to become a bit more collaborative. I think in a time like this, working from home, collaboration tools is probably one of the most used functions now. If you've been a business out there that has not been embracing collaboration tools, I tend to think that you're finding it very difficult to do business at the moment, especially to keep all your employees communicating with each other. There's one key thing that you'll never take away from technology, and that's the human aspect. One thing that's always missed, if you're used to dealing with people and used to being in an office and interacting and engaging with people, this is quite a change. And from a technology perspective, that is something that has to be taken into consideration.
Sure. We're obviously seeing kind of the human element and kind of what that has to play as far as cybersecurity has been concerned with people working remotely now. I was just perhaps wondering, with regards to kind of learning experiences, you mentioned that Kyocera has, over the past few years, been developing and integrating more digital solutions. But have you learned anything in this time, any kind of lessons that you perhaps would want your clients or potential customers to know about?
Yeah, most definitely. Look, and I don't think it's a Kyocera lessons learned. I think it's an industry, a complete business lessons learned out there for anything like this. When you are going down the digital route, you got to keep a couple of things in mind. First thing, if you're going digital, you're always working with documents. So the moment you start digitizing documents, you got to keep POPI Act in mind. You got to keep the GDPR Act in mind. So from that perspective, we as an organization, we are ISO 27001 certified. From managing documents, understanding documents, the content behind it, and what happens with personal information, you've got to have all the bells and whistles and tick boxes in place in order to be compliant. From a digital signature perspective, that's also a big thing. There's a lot of demand out there in the market at the moment from digital signatures. I think one of the key concerns for many organizations is that if I send you anything over a mail to get signed, is it legally binding? And most definitely it is. Kyocera's got some nice tools in place to provide digital signatures for customers that can stand up in a court of law to that regard. So yeah, there's a lot to take in mind, to take into consideration. I think one of the key things that we've learned is that don't just go for the best available thing. Do a bit of homework. Let's understand what your business wants to achieve. What is the long-term goal? I think your long-term goals a couple of months ago is quite changed from where they should be now. Keep that in mind. What is the digital transformation journey you want to follow? And come have a chat with us. We can always assist with that.
So kind of in your experience then, the digital transformation journey shouldn't be something that should be rushed. For the fact that we find ourselves in a global pandemic, there should still be some critical decision-making be happening. There needs to be some exploring of different kind of options out there. Is that kind of your opinion on that?
Most definitely. If you haven't started going down the digital transformation journey, I think you're a bit left behind at the moment, because this fourth industrial revolution bus did not start when COVID started. It started a while ago, really, and I think the bus has left. If you're not on it, you need to catch up very quickly. But there's four key things to consider when starting your digital transformation journey or when starting to discuss this thing. And technology is not one of them. And I'll give you the reasons why. You need to understand and define the company strategy for transformation and what you want to achieve. And then your organizational goals. You need to understand the culture from what it is now, because digital transformation will likely change your culture and then the way things are happening, because it's got to do with people. You got to understand how people fits into this technology framework that you want to do. And then skills, your talent, your resource pool, your people. What is it that you have and what is it that you will need to make this successful? And based off on all of that, you'll pick a tool or technology out of a basket that's out there.
All right, guys, those are definitely some key elements to consider. I was just wondering, with regards to how KSR is dealing with customers at the moment and kind of assisting in terms of their digital transformation, what are some of the solutions that they have been looking at? I know you mentioned, obviously, the digital signature tool, but what are some of the other things that customers are asking for at the moment?
KSR at the moment has got quite a wide range of work-from-home solutions available on e-commerce platforms, such as Takealot. So to do yourself a favor, go over to Takealot, have a look. Search for Kyocera, you'll find a whole lot of the work from home products out there. You can also get these from any of our authorized channel partners. But to that extent, we're looking at work from home. There's printing. There will always be printing. A lot of companies are trying to move away from printing as much as they possibly can, but a lot of them can't. So those solutions are available on the e-commerce platforms. Like mentioned, you're looking at e-signatures, your digital signatures that's fully compliant. One of the key things also that a lot of businesses are going on about at the moment is automated workflows and business process automation tools. People are so used previously to do the things the way they used to by driving business over email, and guilty as charged. I still do it at times. A lot of other companies do it at times. But you need to move away from driving your business over mail, driving your business processes over emails, to actually having some tool or technology in place where you can automatically start driving these things. You start getting visibility into your business, start getting data into your business that you can start making better decisions on. And also, you can hold people accountable, because that's one of the biggest problems at the moment from working from home, is how do you actually see what your team's doing? A whole situation we are in has changed from just being task-focused. You know, the old saying of the post office, and all the respect to the post office, but you can't be 8 hours at the work and expect productivity from employees, because it doesn't always work that way. Mm. Now it's based on outcome. Whether I do it at 12 o'clock at night or whether I do it during office hours or so-called office hours, at the end of the day, there's an outcome. There's a task that needs to be done by deadline. It's outcome-based now. So instead of sitting 8 hours or 9 hours at the office and working, because the whole thing of you being at the office so you are considered productive has completely changed. How do we provide business and employees with tools to be able to draft these things and to make it easy for them? Because at the end of the day, if you can't make it easy for them, they're not going to do it. That's sure. Reality.
I was kind of wondering your thoughts as far as this being the new normal, working remotely. I know that Kyocera, I think a few weeks ago, launched a kind of online ebook to assist with remote working and kind of making that change within your organization. As far as the new normal goes, how do you see it playing out post-lockdown and a few months down the line? Do you think that remote working will be embraced as heavily as it has been?
Most definitely. As mentioned earlier, we've gone down the road quite a time ago, not embracing new technology and change within the business, because that's what we're prophesizing. We went to Gartner a couple of times to and have those discussions with industry leaders there. We fully embrace it. It is the new normal for us. We've started embracing this a bit before the lockdown started as well. We can start getting into all of this. What we have done is to actually give the power to the user, because a lot of this is changing now from driving business the old-fashioned way to how it used to be. All of a sudden, the end user, me as an employee, I now need to go and look for tools and technology that's going to make my life easier for sitting at home. If I need to work at home, I can't just rely on what business is providing. So there's a lot of change. A lot of the times we also need to educate people on what it is that can be done. There's so many tools out there available. There's so many things that's being provided at the moment from a technology perspective. But what are the actual things that we want to do? So from a embracing the new normal, most definitely. And I think we will continue to embrace the new normal, and it will become the normal, not just the new normal.
So, JP, I just want to jump in and get your opinion on something very quickly. Do you foresee a situation coming about where we see businesses kind of splitting their workforce to a point where it's some guys work from home, some folks work from the office, or some folks kind of shift how they work? So they're in the office for 2 days and then work from home for the rest of the time. Do you see that happening with your clients at the moment?
Well, most definitely. We've seen it in our own business, and we're starting to pick it up more and more with our customers. The lockdown has forced us to think differently. COVID has put us in a situation where we still need to deliver results. Mm. We can't drive to the office anymore. But whether that's good or bad doesn't really matter. That was the situation. So we had to change our thinking quite extensively in saying, well, now that the lockdown is starting to ease up a bit, we actually need all the people coming back to the office. And you can take examples of some of the world's biggest organizations out there. Look at Google. Look at Facebook, how they do things. You know, you go to a Google office, even to a Microsoft office, and you can ask to speak to someone. The chances of them being there are slim. Yeah. Most of them are actually working from home. If collaboration is the way to go to do things going forward, and the tools are readily available, I don't see a need for people to actually go into the office. The only thing that we need to get used to is the personal interaction.
Yes.
So that's the only change.
Okay, thanks.
I was kind of hoping to get your thoughts on those people that are working at home at the moment. This might be a little bit more anecdotal, but for example, I don't have access to a printer at home, which I did do at the office. For people that are now looking to kind of set up their home office and are now thinking about buying a whole lot of hardware, how can digital solutions kind of work around that? Because, again, these are, for a lot of people, these are expenses that they might necessarily have budgeted for. So how does that kind of work in terms of the home office setup moving forward?
The first question you got to ask yourself when you consider buying a printer is why? Why do you want to print? Are you going to print something to... working from home and now you want to print something out? Are you going to print it out just for your own reference? Are you going to take something that's digital and make it analog just so that you can have it, so you can read from it? That's the first thing. Is maybe we should look at not just digital solutions, but maybe we need to start changing behavior. Maybe we need to look at how can we do things differently. How can we stop doing something old and start doing something new? If the reason is just getting a printer because that's what you're used to, maybe we need to change what we're being used to. We need to go away from the printing, because if you printed it out of the office, get something done with that piece of paper, to take it to someone for a signature, to take it to someone for a review, or to complete the task so that something else could happen at the end of the day. Different story. For that, there's digital solutions. If you're working at home and you're just printing for the sake of printing, maybe we need to start looking at changing behavior. And the beauty about COVID, the unfortunate beauty about COVID, let me put it that way rather, is that it has actually forced us to start thinking differently. A lot of people don't have access to that. And if they don't have access to it now, and they've been able to work for the past 2 months, why would you need access to it now? Just so you can get back into the addiction of printing? Maybe that's a different way of looking at it. From a digital solutions perspective, there are tools that allow us to work in the cloud, where everybody can have access to the same document, where everybody can be able to to work on something without having to print it out. You can collaboratively change the content of a document. You can send it around. You can get signatures applied. You can get approvals. You can push it to a finance department, to an HR department. Everything can happen digitally. It's just about how do we actually go about changing the behavior of the user to understand that, do they really need to print?
So, I mean, if I may be so bold as to ask, what does that mean then for your business locally? Printers obviously are a big part of your business model, but you're having to find different ways to assist clients at the moment. Do you foresee that kind of business model shifting, perhaps not as a bigger focus on the hardware side of things, but greater on the software?
Look, the hardware side will always it will always be part of our business. It's never going to go away. It's we quite strongly that we market leaders when it comes to the hardware side of the business. But the situation for COVID has forced us to start thinking and doing things differently. That's the reality around it. And it has also provided us with opportunity for us as a business to also look at how we want to take our business to the market differently. So the printer business is not going to go away. We're going to still provide it. Channel partners are out there and business, now that it started to open up again from level three, there's a big spike that we're already seeing in business being done from hardware and from a software perspective.
So as far as, I guess, South Africa is concerned, then, again, I was wanting to get your thoughts in terms of this new normal that we've been hearing a lot about. Do you think it's just going to kind of return to where it was previously? You mentioned that there was a spike when a few days into level three, but there's been a spike already in terms of the hardware side of things. Do you think we're just going to simply head back to the way things were before?
I don't think we will. Things will normalize again, but I don't think it will go back to the way it used to be. A lot of damage has been done to the industry and to business out there, and people were forced to start looking at new ways of doing business and to start thinking differently. Will there be a demand and a big pickup again in traditional business? Most definitely, it will be there. There's a lot of businesses still print. There's still a big need for printing in a lot of businesses. But there's also now a big need in order to drive efficiency, to drive productivity, get insight into the business. By printing a piece of paper does not necessarily give you insight into the business. It allows you to print a piece of paper. And to get insight into what you want to do, make decisions based on that, digital transformation is the way.
Sure. I guess kind of moving forward over the next couple of months as we lower alert levels of lockdown, things like that, more people return to the office or start embracing working remotely. What is Kyocera's plans, just from a local perspective? Are you able to give us an insight or perhaps any hints as to what's going to be happening in future?
It's difficult to tell you what's going to happen in the future. But most definitely, as things start easing up again, more and more people will go back to the office. That's the way it's going to be. Offices are not going to go away. Yeah, printing, the business of printing will still be there. But I'm a firm believer that the way that business will operate, even though that we will go back to the office, is going to change a lot. Business will start seeking more and more digital transformation solutions. If they've embraced it now over the last couple of 2 months, I can't see a reason why they're going to move away from it.
Sure. I guess that really covers everything I wanted to ask. I was perhaps just wanting to get your final thoughts as far as digital transformation for the country and what Kyocera uses as its real value moving forward.
Again, COVID has forced a lot of, for the country, COVID has forced a lot of people, especially government. We've seen a lot of reports where our president actually used collaboration tools to have meetings with his cabinet and his ministers and with the private sector. So it's quite a bit of embracing in that perspective. You can see that from a technology, digital technology, connectivity perspective, there's a lot happening in that space as well. I mean, a lot of the metros and the cities are going online from that perspective. From a country moving forward, yes, we are going into that direction. Are we where a lot of other countries are in Europe and maybe in the West to the stateside? Maybe not. We still have a long way to go from that perspective. It's good news to read that Spectrum has been upgraded now or being upgraded to level 5. We've got 5G coming out, which is, you know, well, that's already here. It's been available in a lot of other countries. From embracing a technology from a digital transformation perspective, as a country, we are there and we are moving fast. We are moving swiftly. From a Kyocera perspective, we are always going to stay ahead of the curve. We have to. a global organization. We understand what's happening all the way from the west to the east, and you will be right there in the front leading.
That's good to hear. I think it covers everything from my side. Is there anything else you wanted to chat about, Brendan?
Yeah, I just, JP, I'm wondering if you have any insights into this. With the lockdown and a lot of the ports being closed, I'm wondering if customers are perhaps worried about not being able to get parts or replacement parts for their Kyocera printers. Do you maybe just want to touch on that and maybe help, hopefully, allay some fears?
We've been an essential service since the lockdown started, so we've been able to operate. With the ports being closed, Kyocera, we keep a couple of months of stock ahead of time. In order to service our partners and the ability that we've had to service our partners, especially those in the front line, the healthcare industries, that has been nonstop. That has been ongoing. It's services delivery as normal. Nothing changed from that perspective. So in order to get stock into the country, I don't see it being a big concern at the moment. We carry enough stock to take us a lot into further levels on. But if it continues like this, and I don't think it's necessarily just the Kyocera thing. I think it's in general, it's an industry. It's a business thing. You know, if you're importing anything from outside of South Africa, you're gonna have a problem if you're doing on time delivery and on time processing. Yeah. It's gonna be a problem for you. And I think the industry that's hardest hit at the moment in that regard is your automotive industry. It's unfortunate and fortunate in both ways for them that they were not able to manufacture because they wouldn't have been able to get parts into the country.
Yeah.
But if you're planning well in advance, then I don't see this being an issue for anyone.
Fantastic. That's all I wanted to know. I think that's going to wrap it up then, Robin.
Yes. Well, thanks again, JP, for taking the time to chat. Yes, we do really appreciate it. And we hope to see what Kyocera is working on moving forward. And perhaps we'll have a meeting, our next interview face-to-face once lockdown has ended.
Yes, definitely. Guys, thank you for having me. And some exciting things. Keep your eyes on the press. Will be definitely some new thing and exciting things coming out.
Fantastic.
Good stuff.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Cheers. Optimize your business efficiency and streamline your workflows with Kyocera Document Solutions South Africa. Get all the rewards with brilliant benefits such as complete transparency on savings of up to 30%, increased productivity and employee motivation, professional and customized document solutions that save you manpower, improved environmental and sustainability management, and improved monitoring and protection of documents and data. For more information, call 011-595-2600 or visit www.kyoceradocumentsolutions.co.za. Right, and that's it from JP from Kyocera Document Solutions. Thank you so much, JP. It was lovely to have you on the podcast today. Be sure to follow all the links we put at the bottom of this post if you need anything from Kyocera Document Solutions South Africa. Other than that, though, that's going to be it from us for this edition of the AfriCast. Thank you so much for joining me, Robin.
Yeah, pleasure as always.
Yeah, and hope you have a fantastic weekend. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, a couple of things to remember now that we're at level 3 lockdown is that from Thursday to Monday morning, you cannot transport alcohol. Don't do that. You will get arrested. You're not allowed to transport alcohol from Thursday to Monday morning. Keep note of that. Number two is that you can go to church on Sunday, provided that you are less than 50 people. I'm sure that if you are the sort of person that goes to church, you've been in contact with your parish and dealt with all that sort of stuff. And I think most importantly is to just stay safe. Continue to stay safe, ladies and gentlemen. Protect those around you. Wear your mask in public. Wash your hands. And don't touch your face. And I think that's going to be it from us, ladies and gentlemen. From myself, Brendan Lotz, cheerio. From Robin Lee Chetty.
Yeah, take care, everyone.
We'll see you next week. Goodbye.